Will you greet one another and say, welcome to CCF, good morning. Welcome. And then say hi to those in the overflow room, to those who are in the internet watching, good morning. If you are our guest, you are here for the first time, we have a special room for you. We give you some materials and a free coffee. It's not mandatory, but if you are free, drop by. There'll be counselors, you need prayer, go to that room. What a privilege it is to be back and to share with you God's message again this Sunday. Before we begin and before we pray for grace, let me give you an example. What is the national animal or the symbol of United Kingdom or England, Albania, Bulgaria, Singapore, Sri Lanka? What? Very good. Lion. What about China? Do you know before it was not a panda? Before it was a dragon. And then they wanted to have a nice, you know, feature. And they decided to use the panda. What about the United States? Albania, Armenia, Egypt, Germany, Poland? Eagle. Very good. Now this one you got to make it, okay? Finland, Russia. Bear. Oh, Philippines. Philippines. Huh? Not bangus, okay? Not bangus. Oh, what about this one? Christians. Ay, nako. Okay. This metaphor is used over 600 times. The Lord is our shepherd, and we are what? You know, the Bible tells us, everybody read this, all of us like what? Sheep. We have gone astray. Each one of us to his what? Own way. In fact, somebody asked me, what's so special about sheep? What are the qualities of sheep? Tell me. It's nice to eat. Lamb chop. Very good. But can I tell you something? Do you notice not many countries will use sheep to symbolize their country? They will use lion, ferocious, strong. They will use what? South Korea will use tiger. They will use eagle. They'll use the tamarind. But what about sheep? You know which country? You know why? Sheep, they are defenseless. The strongest, biggest sheep is no match for the smallest wolf. Have you seen sheep in circus? Have you? I have not. You know why? They are also not so smart. They go astray easily. They are not that smart. Unlike dogs. You know, you can bring dogs to a place, eventually he knows how to go back home. But not sheep. In fact, somebody once said, I don't think this is true, but somebody once said, God created sheep so that we will understand how defenseless we are. This morning, I want to talk about Psalm 23. We are having a series on the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the connection between the Holy Spirit and Psalm 23? It has to do with knowing the work of the Spirit of God, knowing the work of Jesus. Somebody once came to town. He was a great orator. And they asked him to memorize Psalm 23. They gave him a standing ovation. He was so good. And then later on, an older man with white hair came and he recited Psalm 23. When he was finished, no one clapped. Everyone was crying. What's the difference? The orator knew Psalm 23. The older man knew the shepherd. This morning, I want you to know the shepherd. Psalm 23 is totally meaningless. If you don't know the shepherd, it is one of the most famous passages of Scripture. People will quote this, people will memorize this, but many of us don't fully understand the implication of Psalm 23. Can I tell you why? Because we are city people, we are city boy. We don't understand the work of a shepherd, the heart of a shepherd. Let me ask you, how many of you have personally touched or seen sheep? Oh, see? My theory is correct. You are what you call city boy. You know what, city boy, city girl? So when the Bible talks about Psalm 23, it's hard for us to relate. Let's all stand up and read the scripture. Everybody, please turn to your Bible, Psalm 23. I'd like you to turn to your Bible. You can underline it. You can put comments. Alright? Praise God. Many of you are bringing your Bible. I'm not going to give up on you. Please bring your Bible when you come to worship, okay? Psalm 23. Everybody, let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank You for Your precious word. We thank You for allowing us to sing to You, to worship You, to come before You. And now, Lord, it is my prayer that You will speak to all of us. Speak to the hearts of Your people. And once again, we pray for the retreat that's ongoing. We pray for the singles retreat, that You will guide them, guide the speaker, and change the hearts of the people. And once again, we come before You to bring our government, our country before You. Lord, we need Your help. We need Your wisdom. Will You guide the president and her cabinet members to make good decisions? And Lord, if the decisions are not good, will You override their decision? And Lord, will You help us? Be the one to get rid of graft and corruption. Help our leaders love this country more than they love themselves. And Father, I just thank You that nothing is impossible with You. And I pray for Your people here today that we will be salt and light. That we will not just keep on blaming others, but we will assume our responsibility. And we will learn to do our part in this country. But above all, Lord Jesus, I pray for those who are here today. Those who are hurting. Those who are discouraged. That You will speak to them. I pray for those who are sick. I think of Grace. I thank You for what You are doing in her life. And I just pray for complete healing. That this lupus will be a thing of the past. Lord, I know doctors tell us it's impossible to cure lupus. But Lord, I know that nothing is impossible with You. So we lift her up to You, touch her body, and I thank You in advance for what You will be doing. And now pray for Your people that You will speak to all of us. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. The outline of Psalm 23 is very simple. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord provides, the Lord guides, and the Lord protects. Notice the first sentence, everybody. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What is the most important word in that phrase? The Lord, can I tell you? Of course, the Lord. Most important word. Notice, that is the personal name of God. In the Bible, you have different names for God. El Shaddai, understand? Different names for God. But this is the personal name of God found in the book of Exodus. God, the covenant keeper, the Lord Himself, is our shepherd. Notice the next word, is. Is means what? Not was. The Lord is today, He is your shepherd. Not will be, not sometime in the past, the Lord is. Notice the next word, my. Now, what is so special about my? Do you notice Psalm 23 has a lot of personal pronouns? Did you try counting the personal pronouns? You will see it repeated 17 times in 6 verses. You know why? This is a very personal truth that you must experience. This is written by no other than King David. None other than King David, he was a shepherd. At his old age, he looked back at his life and he realized the goodness of God. The Lord is my shepherd. Notice the last sentence, I shall not want. What does that mean, I shall not want? What is want in Tagalog? The Lord is my shepherd. Because He is my shepherd, I will lack nothing. Say that to me. I will lack nothing. You will not lack provision. You will not lack guidance. And you will not lack protection. I don't know what more do you need. In this life, do you need provision? Yes or no? Do you need guidance? Do you need protection? The Bible tells us that is the job of the shepherd. He will provide for you. He will guide you. And He will protect you to make sure that your ultimate destiny will happen according to His plan. Amazing, simple chapter. Psalm 23, 6 verses. Full of important truth. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does that mean? Well, let's find out. It means, number one, He makes me lie down in what? Green pastures. Let me ask you, when will a sheep lie down in green pasture? So I will now try to shift your mind to the mind of a shepherd. You need to know something about sheep. You need to know something about shepherd. What will make a sheep lie down? Can I tell you something? If a sheep is hungry, it will not lie down. When a sheep is nervous, it will not lie down. Here's a picture of the fullness of life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What will you not lack? You will not lack green pasture. The Bible tells us, He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Let me ask you a question. Whose job is it to look for green pasture? Louder. The shepherd. Whose job is it to look for clean water? Shepherd. What is the job of the sheep? Follow. Now let me ask you a question. Are you able to say, Lord, I thank you for where I am today? Because where I am today is my green pasture. Are you able to say that? Can I tell you? Many of us are not contented. We don't understand green pasture. By nature, we are not easily satisfied because our perspective is always wrong. Let me give you an example. When we go to a restaurant, my wife and I, she will order food, I will order food. Everybody will order food. But when the food is served, what do you notice about my wife? Slowly she will go near me and she will take the food from my plate, okay? Now what do? I do the same. I look at her food. Then she looks at my eyes. You want my food? Why is that so? Because what we have, we begin to think, maybe that one is better. Okay? Can I tell you something? Your green pasture and God's green pasture may not always be the same. Let me give you an example. I know of a man who, after coming to Christ, he began to serve the Lord. He had a family. Then he lost his job. Now, when you lose your job, will you say, this is my green pasture? Yes or no? Of course not. What do you do if you lose your job? Be honest with me. You need to what? You have a family, you have children. What do? You look for a job. And I realized many times, in God's wisdom, in order for you to move to a greener pasture, He will allow you to go through certain dry ground. You know why? You think, man, how can this be green pasture? I don't have a job. Listen to me. God is not through with you. He's guiding you. And when He guides you to green pasture, there are times you will pass through what? Dry ground. But just keep following Him. I remember a family of one of our members. They were in the toothpaste business. They subcontract for multinational company. And then one day, this multinational company told this company, we don't need you anymore. Now, what do you do if your business is designed to serve a multinational company in terms of preparing their toothpaste, etc.? What do? When they cancel the contract, what do? One, you close shop. But the other one is you begin to pray. You ask for wisdom. And you know what this family did? They asked for wisdom. The Lord gave them an idea. Start your own toothpaste company. What toothpaste do you use today? Happy toothpaste. That's the story of Happy Toothpaste. Once upon a time, a subcontractor for a multinational company, they cut him off. Now, if you ask him, that was the best thing they did for him. I remember this American. He lost his job. He was laid off. He stopped going to church. And his wife told him, you mean to tell me because you lost your job, you don't want to go to church anymore? Is that the only reason you go to church? Because God is giving you something, and the moment what you want is not what you have, you stop coming to the Lord? You know, he got convicted. He kept coming to worship. Now, if you ask him, what happened to you? He will say, the best thing that ever happened to me was when I lost my job. In fact, he said in his own testimony, he wanted to go back to his old company and find out who gave him the pink slip, who fired me. You know why? Because after he lost his job, he was forced to develop his own business. He was brought closer to God, and you may not realize this, he was the founding father. You know, when Holiday Inn was beginning, that was the man. Multi-millionaire today. But in the past, he was angry. He lost his job. Now let me ask you, where's your green pasture? Are you guys okay? Now, can you honestly say this morning, say that with me, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Meaning you will not lack anything. Understand? And can you say, Lord, I thank you because I am in my green pasture right now, even though it does not look green. Can you say that? He makes me what? Lie down in green pasture. Do you know the grammar of that sentence? He makes me lie down. He makes me. It is not just a simple verb. It is not just in the intense form. This is what you call causative. He will cause you to lie down. That is the faithfulness of God. He will see to it, if you follow Him, you will reach a point in your life when you can honestly say, He makes me lie down where? In green pasture. He will make it happen. Your job is just to follow Him. It is His responsibility to make sure you can honestly say one day, this is the best life. Until then, you keep following Him. Now, people ask me, Peter, are you sure? That's the meaning. The Lord is my shepherd. Everybody, I shall not want. What does it mean, I shall not want? Well, let me give you an example. Everybody, let's read this. Oh, let's read this. The young lions suffer hunger. They lack food. Everybody read. But they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Notice the verb, but they who seek the Lord. Let me ask you, are you seeking after God? Sheep must seek after the shepherd. Where the shepherd will lead, they will follow. And God gives you an amazing promise. Everybody, let's read this promise one more time. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any what? Good things. Ah, the important word is good thing. You will not lack any good thing. Therefore, if you are single and you are not married and you don't have a boyfriend, what do? Can I tell you something? That boyfriend may not be good for you. Understand? Marriage may not be that good for you. So whatever you don't have, you have to realize it is not good for me at this time. Why? Whose job is it to lead you to green pasture? Answer, a shepherd. Whose job is it to know where are the green pasture? Answer, a shepherd. So if you don't have marriage, you don't have boyfriend, you don't have wealth, what must you say? At this point in my life, this is what? The best. You know, my wife and I, we have counseled countless people. I remember a young lady. She wanted to marry this particular guy. So we counseled her. We learned about her past, about this man. So we ask simple questions. Your parents, are they in favor or not? No. Your area pastor, your D group leader, are they in favor or not? No. Now you ask us. Are we in favor? I said, no. You wait. But you know what? I've discovered something. When you're in love, the sound mind becomes darkened. Ladies, listen to me. And gentlemen, if you are in love, you don't think straight. You know why? When the heart takes over, you don't think straight. You know what she did? In spite of all the counseling, she went ahead. See, the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked with what? Unbelievers. I said, you are not sure. Why don't you wait? Remember, when you are in love, what happens? You see things differently. You think everybody is wrong. You are the only one that's correct. You know, after she got married, in less than a few months, she came to us. Can I divorce him? Now, I can give you many stories like this. The Lord is what? My shepherd. I shall not want. You will lack nothing. So, ladies, gentlemen, listen to me. If you are single, fine. You say, Lord, if you want me to get married, I'll be married. If not, I'm happy. You have a boyfriend? You don't have a boyfriend? Lord, I thank you I don't have a boyfriend. Can I tell you something? Sometimes boyfriends can be a pain in the neck. Some people think if I get married, that's the answer to all my happiness. Believe me. Ask those who are married right now beside you. Ask them. Ask them. For some people, if I have money, that is going to answer all of my problems. Can I tell you something? I've counseled many people. Before they had the fortune, they were happy. And now that they have money, they receive a big inheritance. Family members are fighting among themselves. In fact, I was reading an article about millionaires in the States who won, who became millionaires because of lotto. Understand? Because of sweepstakes. The average time span of the money staying with them is less than 5 years. This guy was telling us, well, not us, but he was giving his story. In less than 5 years, he lost his wife because of his money. He lost his children. They began to fight for money. And he lost his money because he has to hire lawyers to defend him. In other words, it was a tragedy. Therefore, some of you, I know you like money. I have nothing against money. You like money? You like money? Be honest. Of course. Remember the saying, no money, no honey? But the truth is this. Sometimes money can cause you problems. And I've seen this. So be happy. Learn to be contented wherever you are. Say that to me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything. In fact, I will not lack any good thing. Whatever is good, the Bible says He will not withhold to those who seek after Him. Man, learn to live by faith. Be thankful. Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. Be thankful. Tell your neighbor. Be thankful. Hey, be thankful. The Lord is our shepherd. Okay? Be thankful. Are you familiar with the New Testament teaching of Jesus? Everybody read this, please. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all of these things shall be added unto you. This is one of the foundational verses of CCF. You must seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Many of you are businessmen. Let me warn you. The day you begin to seek money first, because God has blessed your business, you begin to run after the blessing more than the giver, you are in trouble. The Lord is no longer your shepherd. Everybody, let's read this one more time. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside what? Quiet waters. He restores my soul. Notice the meticulous care of the shepherd. He leads me beside quiet waters. In fact, if you look at the grammar here, the water that has been stilled, that has been quieted, because sheep do not drink water that's running. Especially if it's fast, because they have this mental fear that their wool will be saturated with water and they will drown. So even though they are thirsty, after going through desert area, and if they find water that's running, they are afraid to drink. So what will the shepherd do? The shepherd will temporarily dam the water to make sure that the water will be still, so that the sheep will be able to what? Drink. In short, David is saying, it is the responsibility of our shepherd to take care of us, to lead us to green pasture, to lead us to what? Quiet waters. Now let me ask you, if you are in trouble, where do you turn to? You know, for many people, can I tell you how they read Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. They say, alcohol is my shepherd. Ginebra San Miguel is my shepherd. You know why? When I drink it, I lay down and I forget all my problems. For some people, it can be drug, shabu, cocaine, heroin, whatever it is. You know why? You take it to numb your pain, to have another high. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. For some people, it's money. Can I tell you something? When you fight over money, people fight over material things. It's because your shepherd in your mind is money. Your security is in money. And people fight over money. You got to learn your shepherd is who? The Lord. So how do you know which one is your shepherd? Just look at your life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me what? Lie down in green pastures. My goodness. I remember years ago, my green pasture was the hospital room. I got sick. I've never been that sick before, and I've never been that sick after. But many years ago, the year before CCF got started, I was placed in the hospital room because God wanted to slow me down and God wanted to speak to me. And the Lord spoke to me very clear. When I was in the hospital room, let me ask you, when you are in the hospital room, what position do you have? Where are you looking? Up, up. Unless you want to look down, okay? But to me, that's kind of difficult. So when you look up, what do you see? The ceiling. And after the ceiling, what do you see? That's all, ceiling. But my mind began to think. I began to think of God. I began to think of the goodness of God. I began to think of the importance of serving Him. I began to think of the real meaning of life. Life is more than possessions. It has to do with your relationship with Him, what He wants you to do. And the Lord made it very clear. He said, when you teach Bible, I don't just want you to teach Bible. I want you not just to evangelize. You got to disciple people. I made a decision. When I evangelize people, I will disciple them also. In short, God is saying, start a church. Start a New Testament church. Because many times when I disciple people, I evangelize people, I send them to different churches. Because the burden of discipleship is heavy. There's no end to this. The best thing is send them to different churches. Let all the other churches take care of them. I evangelize, boom, go to this church, go to that church, my job is finished. God says, no, you disciple them. And that's how CCF got started. And that's why, by the grace of God, when we evangelize people, what do we do next? We disciple them. We build them up so that they begin to serve the Lord. You don't just share the gospel. You need to learn to follow them up. For me, that was my green pasture in the hospital room. Then notice, the only reason why this verse you can count on is this. Everybody, look at verse 1. The Lord, what? Is my shepherd. Who is your shepherd? The Lord. Let's look at what the Bible has to say about the shepherd. Everybody read this. Jesus tells us, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The only reason why you can claim that amazing truth, I will lack nothing, is because Jesus is the good shepherd. Do you know the Bible describes Jesus as the great shepherd in the book of Hebrews chapter 13? The Bible tells us Jesus is our chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5. In John, the Bible tells us He is the good shepherd. Now, how do you describe a good shepherd? Let's read that one more time. The good shepherd, what will he do? Lays down his life for the sheep. When I brought many of you to Israel this year, what did you notice? Remember, I always bring people to Israel once a year. When I brought them to this pen, a replica of where the sheep will be sleeping at night, what did you notice? In that place where the sheep will be sleeping, there's only one gate, surrounded by thorns to protect the sheep. And who will stay in the gate at night? Who will sleep in that gate? The shepherd. You see, until you're a shepherd, you will not understand what David is talking about. He's giving us a picture of how much the Lord loves you. And in order for them to understand, the Bible uses imagery. Understand? He uses metaphors so that you will understand who God is. The problem today is, we don't understand who God is. He is impersonal. He's somebody up there. You may know theology. You may know the Psalm, but do you know the shepherd? So for us to understand God, the Bible uses languages that you can understand. For example, the picture of father and son. The Bible says God is our heavenly father. He uses that picture to show us how much He loves us. Can I tell you something? I thought I knew that verse, not until I became a father. When I became a father, I began to understand how much more the meaning of the Lord is our what? Heavenly Father. Why? I became a father. And I began to realize I am a sinful father. Yet I love my children. I am an imperfect father. I want to do my best for my children. Wow! How much more our Heavenly Father? He loves you. And then God uses the picture of husband and wife. Now, I am a sinful man. But I do my best to make my wife happy. The picture of husband and wife. The Lord Jesus is the bridegroom. And we are the bride. And I realize God wants me to be faithful to Him. As I would like my wife to be faithful to me, as I am faithful to my wife, whatever is the picture that's developing in your mind, God is saying, as the husband, I take care of the needs of my wife. The wife is supposed to be faithful to the husband. Do you understand? God wants us to know Him. Not just know Him in the head, know Him in the heart. That you will fall in love with Jesus. Now the Bible tells us, the Lord Jesus is our what? Let's read that verse one more time. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for you. Then He gives a contrast. What's a contrast? He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Jesus is not saying, when danger comes, I will not run away from you. I love you. I will take care of you. I always tell our pastors, we are to love the flock of God. You see, God made us pastors. I remind our pastors today again. I will remind all of you. D group leader, you are not a hireling. I'm not serving CCF because I'm hired. We are called of God to love the sheep. I love you guys. And you're the father, you love your family. You are the D group leader, you love your people. You are not a hireling. You're the shepherd. Turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, we have a good shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. Now, let's read the next verse, everybody. He guides me in the path of what? Righteousness. For His name's sake. What have you learned so far? The Lord is our provider. He makes sure you have green pasture. He makes sure you have distilled water. Understand? You can drink. And then the Bible tells us, He guides you in the path of what? Righteousness. For His name's sake. Now let me ask you, when you feel like giving up, what do? Have you ever felt like giving up? You got problems? Sooner or later, you will have problems. You don't have to look for problems. Problems will look for you. Understand? So tonight, today, when you go home, don't say, I want problems. No need. You will have problems. But the difference is this. You have a shepherd. When David talks about the guidance of God, let me ask you, when you are down, where do you turn to? Let me show you the experience of David. Everybody read this. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. All the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. I want to teach you a principle. If you understand the Lord is your shepherd, every time you have problems, you turn to Him. He will guide you. David lost his family, his own friends, got mad at him. He has no place to turn to. Now let me ask you, do you experience something similar to this? When nobody will seem to understand you? When nobody seems to want to help you? What do? You must say that with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I have discovered why many times God will allow you to lose everything. Why? Not all the time. Because when your faith, when your shepherd is the wrong thing, God in His wisdom will allow you to go through life without all of the artificial counterfeit attachments that you think will make you happy. He takes them away. For some of you, it is power, it is position, it is money, it is friends, whatever it is. So I tell our leaders, listen to me now. If you have problems, what do? For many of us, we go to our friends. Yes or no? Nothing wrong with that. Can I tell you something? I want you to go beyond going to friends. I want you to learn a principle. Look at David. Where do you turn to? According to David? David what? Did you see the verse? David what? He strengthened himself in. Now, do you know how to go to the Lord? And sometimes He will take away all the other paraphernalia that you are depending on. So that you will be able to say, Lord, I have nobody else but You. I have nothing else but You. Then and only then you will discover that God is more than sufficient. Many times you will not discover the sufficiency of God until everything is taken away from you. And then you discover, there is more to life than possessions. And then He begins to bless you again. This is the story of many of our people. This is my own story. God takes away, and He gives it back to you. But many times you have to learn to die to that earthly, materialistic vision that you and I have a tendency to want. So the Bible tells us, the Lord is our shepherd. He guides us in the path of what? Righteousness for His name's sake. What do you mean by righteousness? Righteousness means not just morally upright. It's called the right path. The right way to live. It is not just moral. This is a big word. It has to do with all kinds of blessing. The path of righteousness. For example, how this word is used. This word is used, example, in the book of Isaiah. Everybody read this. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you to what? To profit. Who leads you in the way you should go. If you had paid attention to my commandments, your well-being would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Notice, righteousness is connected with verse 7. I am the Lord your God who teaches you how to what? How to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. In other words, the word righteousness is a big word. Right living, morally upright. And if you're morally upright, God's blessing. May not always be material, but it includes material for many people. It's always connected. What does it mean in Psalm 23, verse 3, for my name's sake? Let's read that one more time. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That is our security. God is saying, I will guide you. Not because you deserve it. I'll guide you. Because of what? Because of who I am. For His name's sake. I'm reminded of the story of this girl. She's an amazing lady, lots of energy. She's a woman liberation movement fanatic. Understand? Because a man opened the door for her. When the guy opened the door for her, she got angry. Why did you open the door for me? Just because I'm a lady, you don't have to open the door. And the man said, I'm opening the door for you, not because you are a lady, but because I'm a gentleman. Ladies, if somebody opens the door for you, what do you do now? Say, thank you, next door please. Next door, please. The Bible tells us, the Lord leads us in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. God is saying, that's the principle. Your security is not because of you. It's because of my character. The character of God is committed to us. He's committed to bless you. Now, some time ago, somebody texted me. You know, if you have good illustration, you text me. They texted me about two monks and the scorpion. Have you read that text about two monks and the scorpion? These two monks, they were washing their dishes, their plates in the river. And then they saw a scorpion drowning. Remember that story? And then the monk got the scorpion and put it on the ledge to save him. But the scorpion stung him. And then he began to wash the dishes. And the scorpion fell to the water again and was drowning. And he again saved the scorpion. And the scorpion stung him again. And the other monk told him, why do you keep saving the scorpion? He said, it is the nature of the scorpion to sting. It is my nature to save. You see, it is my nature to go astray. It is my sinful nature to rebel against the Lord. That's us. But I praise God. It is His loving kindness. It is His nature to save us, to bring us to the path of righteousness. I read the story of a shepherd in Syria. This tourist asked the shepherd, why do you keep carrying the sheep? And then the shepherd said, look. And then the tourist looked at the sheep. And he said, the leg is broken. There's a splint. And then the tourist says, what happened to the sheep? Is it because he fell down on the hole? Is it because something ran over him? Did the car run over him? He said, no. I broke his leg. You see, if you read books about shepherd, sometimes the shepherd will break one of the legs of the sheep. You know why? Because if the sheep keeps going astray, it will lead others to go astray, and the sheep will harm itself. I remember an Australian shepherd. He said he had this fence. Outside the fence, of course, you have the highways. And he said, many times, sheep are not smart. He guides them in this wonderful place, green pasture, but somehow they want to go astray. Now, when they go astray, he has to bring them back. But usually, there's a leader. Okay? This is in Tagalog, yung matigas na ulo. Matigas na ulo. Now, say that in English to your American friends. Okay? Matigas na ulo. The stubborn, self-willed sheep. Well, it sounds cruel to break the leg of a sheep. Yes, does it sound cruel? But you know what? He said, after a few weeks, this sheep will be healed. But after that, he will stay close to me. Because throughout this time, I feed him. Throughout this time, I take care of him. It sounds cruel until you see the big picture, to spare the life of the sheep. Many times He will guide us in the path of righteousness by what? By breaking our leg. Have you been disciplined by the Lord? Yes or no? I don't know about you. I've been disciplined so many times. My prayer is very simple. Lord, give me a soft heart so that I don't have to be disciplined. Can I tell you something? The Bible tells us, whom the Lord loves, what will He do? Lest you say, this is my own invention. Will you please read this? Everybody, let's read this together. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. Whom the Lord loves, what will He do? He will discipline. He scourges every son whom He receives. Some of us are like sheep that are stubborn. God has been speaking to you, and you keep running away from Him. God is saying, for my own sake, because of who I am, because I love you, I will discipline you. The Lord is my what? Shepherd. I shall not want. And then the Bible continues. By the way, do you know how God guides us? He guides us in many ways. He guides us sometimes through His Word. Oftentimes through His Word. Let's read this. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And that's why I like you to read the Bible. Remember, I keep telling you, you must read the Bible, the whole Bible, before the end of this year. Are you doing it? Can you do me a favor? Can you ask your neighbor just now? Ask your neighbor, have you read the whole Bible? And then tell them honestly. Ask your neighbor, have you read the whole Bible? Tessie, have you read the whole Bible? Okay, very good. Have you read the whole Bible? Okay, read the whole Bible, okay? He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Can I tell you something? You may not be aware of this. God is always guiding us. And sometimes you can feel it, and sometimes you don't feel it. There was a time that I thought He was not guiding me. In fact, this just happened recently. Somebody invited me to bless the business, to say a simple prayer. I said, I cannot stay for dinner. Then I told them, I said, you know, as much as possible, we want all the other area pastor to do this. You know, pray for the business. Get an area pastor to do it. If not, I have to do. I end up doing everything. And I said, I won't be effective. Well, this person, to make a long story short, I ended up being the area pastor. I'm the area pastor. There's no other person. So I said, okay, well, we'll do it. I was tired. I was telling my wife, honey, I'm really tired. I don't want to go tonight. But I said, we got to go. When I went to that business opening, by the grace of God, I thank God for my wife. My wife is very sociable. So she was talking to other people. I was talking to the men. He was talking to the women. Then she met a Caucasian girl. She was surprised. This Caucasian girl is working in an embassy. So she introduced her to me. Honey, I'd like you to meet this lady. And I told this lady, I said, do you realize tomorrow I'm going to this embassy? She said, would you believe it? I work in that embassy. Oh, and she said, would you believe it? I might interview you tomorrow. I thought she was joking, okay? Okay. So the next day, I told the agent, be there early. I want to be the first to be interviewed. You know, this European tour, you know, Shenzhen, all of this, you got to get visa. Shenzhen. So I was the first. I was so happy in the elevator. You know, you have to go through a lot of procedure. I was the first to get out of the elevator. The others were going. I was so happy. I was the first. And then I was following the agent. The agent made a left turn. Wrong mistake. You know what? When we went left, the embassy is on the right. Now, I was getting irritated. In my mind, that is his job. He is supposed to know where is the embassy. So when I went back, I'm no longer the first. There were others lined up already. You understand? First come, first serve. So they were given number one, number two. In my mind, I said, how can this guy miss the turn when that is his job? And he does this almost every day. But you know, I'm a pastor. Cannot get angry when you're a pastor. You cannot say much. You just got to say. But praise God. I always bring books with me. Understand? I always bring books. So I don't mind waiting. I was reading books. And then number one came. Wait, the interviewer came. So they called the first one. I was thinking, that should have been me. Got the second one. And then our friend showed up. Our friend came late. She showed up. When she saw me, so I went. Then she looked at my paper. She said, you write me another letter. You ask for at least 3-year visa. You ask for multiple entry. Because I was very simple. I only asked for, you know, simple requests. You know, visa, 1 year or whatever, or one time, 2 times, understand? This is, usually they give you how many months visa? If your passport is Philippines. 6 months maybe. You know what she did? She said, you write a letter. You know, she gave me what? 3-year multiple visa. So as I was going out, I told my wife, honey, isn't it amazing? If that guy did not make a mistake, if he did not go to the left, he went to the right, I would have been interviewed by the first girl, understand? And the first girl do not know me. Hello, who are you? Why are you going to Europe? You don't understand? And then I said, honey, if we did not go last night, if we did not do our duty, or, you know, the privilege of serving the Lord, we would not have met this girl. My whole point is God is always guiding you. Even though you don't think He is doing it, even though you think He is not doing anything, God is always active in our life. Praise God. So just keep walking with Him. And then the Bible tells us, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know what the Bible is saying? When God guides you, many times you will go through the valley of life. In fact, the better translation is not the valley of the shadow of death. The literal translation is this. The valley of deep darkness. It is so dark, you don't know what's happening. Well, the Bible says, I will not be afraid. You know why? The Lord is with me. Now, let me ask you a question. Why do you have to go through valleys? Why would the shepherd guide you through valleys? Answer? You know why you cannot answer me? Because you are not a shepherd. For you to understand this, during summer, the grass will turn what? Brown. No more fresh grass. No more grass. In order to climb the mountain, why do you need to climb the mountain? Because the snow is just melting. And when the snow is melting, you have what? Water, you have fresh grass. You have green pasture. And that's where you have the Spanish word mesa. European word upland, the highland, the mesa. The same word for Africa. It's a plateau, highland, on the mountain where there's green pasture. That's where we have the word mesa. Our mesa, table. Green pasture. You cannot go to the high mountain of green pasture until you go through the valley. Therefore, God wants you to go to the upland in order to have your green pasture, but you need to learn to go through the valleys. Now, do you like valleys? Of course we don't like valleys. In fact, I like this illustration. Somebody gave this to me. You know the meaning of courage? I will fear no evil. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Can I tell you why? Who will be the one to protect us? Answer? The Lord. Jesus tells us, I send you a sheep in the midst of what? Wolves. We are sheep in the midst of what? Wolves. But who is with us? The Lord. If the Lord is with you, are you protected? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything. You will not lack provisions. You will not lack guidance. And you will not lack what? Protection. What is your job? Follow the shepherd. Everybody, let's look at verse 5. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. What does that mean? Again, you have to be a shepherd. It's called summertime. You need oil. You see, during summertime, you have summer flies. These flies will land in the nose of the sheep. It will lay its egg. And when the egg matures, when the egg will hatch, the larva will begin to crawl inside the nose of the sheep. It is irritating. It can kill the sheep. So what will the shepherd do? They will put what? Oil on the nose. Like an insect repellent. And they will. when the sheep will eat in the grass, there's a lot of vipers, poisonous snakes. The oil is to be what? A repellent against the snake. In other words, the whole picture of Psalm 23 is the meticulous care of the shepherd to the sheep. And David is saying, the Bible is telling us, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that is how much God loves you. He will care for you. All your provisions, He will take care of it. Your protection, He will take care of it. You have only one job. What is your job? Follow. Are you following Him? Many people don't realize the cost of not following the shepherd. They always tell me, it is so hard to be a Christian. You know, to follow the Lord is difficult. I tell you, yes, sometimes it is difficult when you go through the valleys. But can I tell you something? If you don't follow the Lord as your shepherd, you will not know what you are missing. Look at this verse. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In the midst of your enemies, in the midst of problems, you can have what? The presence of God, and that is security. You see, security is not the absence of problem. The abundant, fruitful life is because of the presence of God in your life. You know, my prayer is very simple. That when God looks at my life, when God looks at my family, people will know the Lord is my shepherd. I pray that's your prayer. When people look at you, I hope they will be able to say, the Lord is your shepherd. Amen? So will you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, is the Lord your shepherd? I love this. Surely, everybody read this. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. The protection is to preserve you until you reach the ultimate destiny of every child of God. The presence of the Lord forever and ever. In the meantime, you have to understand the verb here. Goodness and loving kindness will follow me. That word follow me, can I share with you that word in the Hebrew language? That is the word for pursue. Pursue. Goodness and loving kindness will pursue you. Eventually, it will overtake you. You know, I read the story of a pastor who illustrated this truth by talking about a man who was driving from Nevada. He was driving back home. He left the motel. And as he was driving in the highway, he saw a police car. And the police car was blinking. Now, let me ask you, when you see a police car blinking, what must you do? But this guy, something happened to his mind. Instead of slowing down, he kept going faster. He was thinking, if I'm given a ticket, this is the end. Why? Because he was given so many tickets already. One more ticket, his license will be what? Revoked. So he was thinking, boy, I am dead. And if my license is revoked, I cannot drive. You see, you are suspended for so many months, so many years, depending on the gravity. And then one more thing. My vacation with my wife will be canceled. I cannot drive. And we want to go to Miami, to Florida. But, you know, he was not thinking. He kept driving. And the police car, of course, you cannot outspeed the police car. The police car came over, pulled him aside. And he was saying, I am dead. I am dead. Then the policeman spoke to him. Are you having a guilty conscience? Why are you running away from me? So the policeman pulled out something. He got the wallet. He said, the motel owner told me to run after you because you left your wallet. So he was thinking, boy, what a fool I am. And then the policeman said, oh, by the way, the motel owner told me also to tell you that you just won the sweepstakes. You registered in the motel, you won a sweepstakes, free vacation to Miami. But you got to call before 12 o'clock. You know, many Christians, we think of God like the policeman. We think He's running after you. Can I tell you, He's not running after you to punish you. He's running after you to what? Bless you. Look at this verse. Everybody read this. Surely, certainty, goodness. You know what is goodness? Again, goodness is a big word. Includes all kinds of blessing. And what? Loving kindness. You know, goodness is not good enough for us. We need forgiveness. We need grace. That's the word for loving kindness. The loving, faithfulness, covenant of God. Mercy and grace combined to mean the word loving kindness. You need loving kindness. You need goodness. The Bible says all of these will what? They will follow me. They will pursue you. And then what will happen? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. That, my friend, is the destiny of the people of God. What's the condition? The condition is very simple. Everybody, can you read this with me? The Lord is my shepherd. Let me ask you, is the Lord your shepherd? How do you know? Two tests. Would you like to know what are the two tests? It's called the ear test and the foot test. How do you know you belong to the flock of the Lord? Ear test and foot test. Peter, I never saw that in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I show you. Everybody read this. My sheep hear my voice. The ear test. You hear the voice of the Lord, the voice of your shepherd. And I know them and they will what? Follow me. The foot test. Can I tell you something? If you go with us to Israel, sometimes you will see a group of shepherds with all the sheep mixed together. But the most amazing thing will happen. The moment the shepherd will leave, okay? One of the shepherds, there are many shepherds. If the first one will leave and he starts walking, he makes a noise. What will happen to the sheep? They hear him, they all follow him. This is an amazing picture. The Bible says, how do you know you belong to the Lord? Do you listen? Number two, do you follow? If you don't listen, you don't follow, don't convince me. You belong to the flock of the Lord. God knows. You know. Two tests. Do you listen to the voice of the Lord? Number two, do you follow the Lord? Notice, look at this verse. Verse 28. And I will give them what? Eternal life. They shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. But look at the condition. You've got to connect verse 28 with verse 27. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You see, a Christian is not one in the head only. It's in the heart. It's in your life. Saved by grace. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What are the two tests? Everybody? My sheep hear. Number two, they follow. Is the Lord your shepherd? Can I tell you something? If you don't follow your shepherd, you will not know what you will miss. And I praise God. The destiny of the people of God. You shall dwell in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. It's the picture of green pasture. It's the picture of abundant, overflowing banquet. And that, my friend, is God's plan for all of us. But have you surrendered your life to become part of the flock of God? Let's bow our heads. Will you make your own private commitments to the great shepherd? Some of you have never surrendered your life. You think a Christian is simply receiving Jesus. My friend, to receive Jesus means what? He becomes your shepherd. You trust him. You obey him. Will you pray this prayer with me if you are not sure? If you are not sure that the Lord is your shepherd, that he is your savior, that you have eternal life, pray this prayer with me in humility, something like this. Lord Jesus, I realize you are the good shepherd. I realize I have not trusted you completely. I keep on insisting my own ways. Today I want to surrender my life to you. I want to follow you as my shepherd. Lord, I give you my life. I ask you to take over. Be the shepherd of my soul. Be the shepherd of my life. You are our shepherd, Lord Jesus. And we are the sheep of your pasture. Thank you for being a good shepherd. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.